Ron Van Dam. He spends 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, bringing you wisdom, insights, and life lessons that will last you, let's call it 6 to 8 minutes. 8 on a good day, 9 maybe if the guest had something interesting to say. So it's probably safer to say 6 to 8 minutes in that range. That sounds good, right? Okay. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much. Please sit down.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I appreciate the standing ovation, but please sit down. You're embarrassing me. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm part of the show because my name is in the title, which means it's all on me, isn't it? Actually, it's all on you. You're the one that chose to listen to this, so this is your fault, not mine. If blame is to be assigned, otherwise, doesn't matter. Thanks for being here. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible. First, there's me because I happen to be doing it. Then there's John Shanahan. He's your announcer. He's a comedy writer. He does a lot of stuff on this program, does the comedy commercials. He's a funny man, John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen. Please sit down. You're embarrassing him. And then there's Nicole Reed. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Is she really British? I really don't know. I think she's not. And she books many of the national interviews that we do on this program because I'm incapable of doing that myself at times. And then there's Jason Shaw, who composes and performs the themes that you hear on this program for this program. Thank you, Jason. And there's other people as well, but I just don't remember who they are at this moment. I'm sure they're fine people, but, you know, I don't even remember who they are. I'm not concerned about the fact that sometimes I walk into a room and I say to myself, oh, why did I walk in here? At first it's, I'm getting old. And then it's, I realize I was doing that when I was 20 years old, even more so. Because there was so much going on in my life when I was 20. Oh my God, I had stuff every second. Oh, I can't stay any longer. I have to be over here in 10 minutes. Oh, no, I can't. I got that scheduled for Thursday. No, I can't do that. I'm sorry. No. And that's why I need people. I need people. Not in the Barbra Streisand people who need people thing, but in the sense that I need people to handle my life for me. I need to be Oprah is what I need to be. Everything she does is wonderful. She doesn't even have to get married. She's got a guy anyway. She doesn't need to get married. She decided, I don't know if she even has children. I have no idea because she doesn't talk about it. Therefore, it's not my business. What a wonderful life that must be. Oprah has people. I don't have people. I've got a few people, but they're not really people. They're more animals. Oprah's got people. She doesn't have to do anything. Oprah, I'd like to meet with you next Thursday. Okay, well, I'm not going to show up. My people will show up, and they'll take care of you. What does that mean, Oprah? We wanted to have lunch with you. I don't. I have people for that. I have people for eating lunch for me. I don't have to eat lunch. Nope, Oprah's even got people who chew her food for her. Chewing her food, I don't have to do that anymore. I got people. I assume that she's even got people tasting her food first to make sure there's no poison in it. I have no idea, but she's got people for everything. Well, I don't want people for everything. Like, hey Ron, we're going to have a glass of wine and go up to my room with me. Do you want to do that tonight? Yeah, sure. I've got people. I'll send them over at 7. Yeah. I guess that can go too far. And then there's the paparazzi thing. You know, when I was younger, I thought, well, you know, I want to get into show business and I want paparazzi. And then I realized, you know, with, you know, Diana there, with what happened to her, it's like, oh, no, I don't want the paparazzi. I changed my mind. Changed my mind. I want to, oh, my God, to have people following you every moment of the day, trying to get a picture of you and your family, and you have no privacy and you can't do anything. And when you do it, you got to make sure that the windows are all shut and no one can get in. And what a horrible life that must be. So no, it's not a good idea. And then, you know, I have a website, and I say I have a media manager with whom I don't get along because I don't know what they're talking about. So when someone's doing something for me and I don't know really what they're doing for me, but they're doing it for me, it makes me a little anxious. So I don't know much about social media other than what I see, and apparently that's not enough. So my media manager says to me, Ron, you've got to ask people to follow you. And I thought, what? Why would they want to follow me? Don't follow me. Get out of here. Get out of here. When I'm driving on the highway and there's a car tailgating me, which doesn't mean that they've stopping the car and opening the trunk and taking out a barbecue grill and grilling hot dogs. That's not what tailgating means in this sense. When a car is on my bumper, let's say, and is only a few feet apart, and this car is like right up on my bumper, they're following me. I guess when you're driving, that's bad. Or when you're walking down the street at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't know what you're doing out that late, but nonetheless, you can if you want to. And there's some weird person like only like 10 feet away from you, and you turn down the block and they turn down the block and they're following you. But yet my social media manager wants me to ask people to follow me. And I say, like, I don't understand what you're telling me now. You're making no sense. Why would I want someone to follow me? I want people to stay away from me. That's my goal in life, not to have them follow me. Stay away from me. So it's very, very confusing. And there's a fine line between following somebody and stalking. So I don't understand the whole thing. So I don't want that kind of life, but I do want people. So if someone says, Ron, let's go have dinner, I can say, okay, I'll send Joe. Joe will take care of that, and he'll have dinner with you, and we'll be good. So when I was younger, I did have that kind of thing. I was doing stand-up comedy, and I had a couple of jobs, and I was doing radio. I mean, I did everything at once. And it became very, very confusing. And I had this calendar of appointments that was filled up to the brim. Now, I forget, like, to show up for my dental appointment. And, yeah, but that's on purpose. If there's one thing you don't want to show up for on time, it's a dental appointment. Oh, my God. I've talked about this before. I can't. I will not have strangers or seemingly professional people putting their hands in my mouth. I mean, I know that it needs to be attended to every once in a while. I brush, I floss, I do everything I can in there. But I don't want strangers in there setting up construction cones and putting sucky devices in my mouth. And I'm not into that. You want to whiten my teeth? Call a painter, you know? Like, why do we need a dentist? Stop it. And dentists, they just, they got the drill thing. Don't drill me. That's not right. Don't put excavation equipment in my mouth. I'm not into that. I have a friend named Chris, and he expresses every once in a while that he loves the dentist. I'm talking about love. He goes to the dentist every 3 months because he loves the feeling of his teeth being just incredibly taken care of. He loves it. It's like an open public event. Come into my mouth. That sounded wrong. You know what I mean? He's got a big sign on his face that says, I love people in my mouth. No, that didn't sound right either. But he loves to go to the dentist. He loves to go to the dentist, and he's in love with his teeth. I really don't know. My teeth are good. They perform a function, and every once in a while, people will see them, but usually not greatly so. And you know, that's about it. I don't know what. And then I read somewhere, and I don't know if it's still the case, but it was the case at a point maybe 5-10 years ago, that the highest suicide rate amongst professionals was in the dental profession. Dentists like to kill themselves. And I don't mean that in an insensitive way. I mean it in a way of, well, maybe I do. I mean, nobody should be in that kind of situation, but I'm wondering, like, why that profession? Why is there such a high suicide rate amongst dentists? You make enough money. People show up on a regular basis, whether their teeth are dirty, clean, in bad shape, in good shape. They go all the time. You've got repeat business that never ends unless they die. And then you get new ones. How could you be unhappy? Is it the conquest of having to go into people's mouths? I don't think dentists care about that. I do. I don't think they do. I don't understand why your suicide rate is so high. How can that be a problem for you? Maybe people work in social services because they see these horrible family situations and they feel for the children and all that. That must be very angst-ridden and very stressful and very, I can't live like this anymore. Or psychotherapists or psychologists who listen to crazy, I'm sorry, don't use the word crazy, Ron, who listen to people that are self-professed imbalanced individuals. Listening to their problems all day, and they're completely messed up and horrible lives, trying to save them from suicidal tendencies. Those therapists should be high on the suicide rate of that, but they're not. It's dentists. I don't get it. I don't get it. But there's a lot of things I don't get, and you know, when I was doing radio for so long, it was my duty and my calling to to figure out why things are so screwed up. And then when I reached a certain age, because I am now turning 30, I'll wait for it. Okay, I guess I got by with that. Oh, cool. No one said, oh yeah, right. No one said that. That's pretty cool. Thank you. Anyway, as I'm now turning 50, again, nothing. What's wrong with you? No response? Anyway, I don't care anymore. You might use the term, I don't give a shit, but you're not supposed to do that publicly, so I don't say that, but I don't really seem to care much anymore. And it's a freedom. It's the freedom of not having to care so much. And you're saying, Ron, you must always care, always through every moment of your life. And I say, no, I think there's a point where you retire. You see, I take retirement not to mean that you don't have to work that hard at a job anymore, because the government will give you $1.50 per week. Try to live on that. But you know, you retire with what you've accumulated if you were able to do so financially. Yeah, that's one form of retirement, but no, that's not the only form. The other form is mental retirement, where I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to get up at 9 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning to get to work by 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to reschedule things and have to do things and have to be there. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't even have to, at a point, go to jury duty. Oh my God, jury duty. Are you kidding me? We've got an all-volunteer army, but jury duty? No, you go to that or you get arrested. Oh, really? And Trump can do all that stuff and he doesn't get arrested. I don't understand this. All I did was not show up for jury duty, and now I'm a criminal? It's weird. But I don't have to. That's retirement to me. It's not physical. It's also mental. Not just physical, I mean. It's also mental. I'm retired mentally. It doesn't mean that I don't think as well. It's just I don't have to. Ron, you should always care about people. Yeah, I guess I should. And to an extent, I do, because I'm so used to it. But do I have to? I don't know anymore. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's an incredible burden off your shoulders. Or at least it's supposed to be. But then when you retire, most people who retire say, you know what? I'm bored. I'd like to go back to work. What are you kidding me? What are you kidding me? You spent all those years salivating for retirement. Then you retire and you say, nah, I'm bored. I really want to go back to work. Oh, God, no, you're missing the whole point. The least you can do and what you should do is mentally retire. I don't have to do that if I don't want to. Some people do for financial reasons. But for the most part, it should be a mental kind of retirement. And what do we do on the weekends? What do? You work Monday through Friday. Some of you work on the weekends, of course. But for the most part, people work Monday through Friday. That's the old ball game. And on the weekends, it's a mental vacation every weekend. You need a mental vacation. You really do. This particular election year, the year that we're in, will be probably the most stressful year that many generations have ever been through for an extended period of time. And it's a consequential election as well. And it's going to be extremely stressful. You watch those medications go flying off the shelf. It's going to be amazing. Because whether you realize it or not, you're stressed out. You're stressed out. You don't even know, do you? And the people that are not stressed out are people that don't know that they're stressed out. There's a neighbor in the neighborhood in which I live, which defines the term neighbor. And she's a wonderful person. You can have a conversation with her and it won't be boring. Oh my God, where do you find that? Ron, can I sign up for that? I know. She's a great conversationalist. She makes you want to talk with her. She's pleasant. She's just really nice. She does everything she wants to do without any problems at all. This woman has no problems. She has some physical problems, but it doesn't bother her. She does. She has physical body problems, organs and things like that that aren't functioning 100%. But she doesn't dwell on it, and she doesn't talk about it unless it comes up, in which case she just says, oh, I'm living with it and I'm handling it and I'm taking care of it. And then she goes on to something else that's rather more pleasant. She's an exemplary person. She should be in the dictionary, if there was a dictionary still. And there should be a picture of her under wonderful person. Why? She somehow has mastered the ability through this life with all its ups and downs and problems and speed bumps. She's learned to manage them mentally. She doesn't get involved in the crap. She doesn't. She doesn't have to wear boots. She doesn't get her feet wet. Again, she has as many problems as we do, perhaps more. But it doesn't stop her at all. And you wouldn't know it. Now, is that wonderful? Not necessarily. See, I am what they call a creative artist, and I'm not bragging or anything. Some people are, some people aren't. And my mind has to think of things 24 hours a day. Boom, 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 boom. Constantly. It's the way I'm set up. That's my neurological situation. So that's a burden. And I crave to be like this young lady in the neighborhood who lives this life of dismissing anything that can bring her down and just puts it to the side and puts it in its place. You're magical. You're a unicorn. You're not supposed to exist in this day and time. But she is. And people like that, people want to be around her because she's a great inspiration of feeling good. Me, not so much. I'm going to the party. Oh, who's going? Oh, Ron will be there. Oh, okay. All right. Let me get back to you. You mean you're not going? Let me get back to you. I have to check with people. What people? My people. I don't know. I don't know. Let me get back. Are you sure Ron's going to be there? Yeah, he said he was going. Okay. All right. Okay, then. Okie dokie. Well, let me, I'll kind of do, I have your phone number, right? I'll give you a call. That's right. I have a dental appointment.
You don't have a dental appointment.
I do.
But it's Saturday night is my party.
Yeah, it was the only time they could squeeze me in. And I want to go see my dentist before perhaps he commits suicide. Because you know the rates there and they're not good. They're not good. So let me get back to you. Unless Ron doesn't go, then give me a call. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. And when we come back, my guest will be joining us. Okay? Okay? Call.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. Dr. Jeff Werber is practicing veterinary medicine. He's been doing it for over 30 years. Oh, my God. He's one of the few actively practicing veterinary medical journalists in the U.S. Hey, good to speak to you. We always like to talk to veterinarians. I always get them confused with vets, and I always say thank you for your service. But thank you for your service anyway.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's funny, we always say when we speak, when we write, we always try to use the full word veterinarian because of that. Because we say, wait, are you a car? Or are you an ex-army? What do you mean a vet?
Exactly. you know, we're talking about, we're talking about pet scratching, and then we're getting into some other things. But I have a dog. Dog is scratching constantly, no matter, you know, and I do the monthly flea treatment and things like that. Is it normal for a dog to scratch at itself continually?
Well, it's normal for a dog to scratch occasionally. Once it becomes continual, when it becomes, bothers them, when it actually interrupts their regular activities like eating and playing and chasing that ball, or they're rubbing and scooting and, you know, chewing on themselves, then it's not normal. And, you know, it leads to problems. It's often, especially this time of year, but it can happen all year, dogs scratch because of allergies. They don't sneeze. They don't have the runny eyes. They don't have the scratchy throat like we do. They actually scratch. And they itch. And they, as I said, they rub and they chew. So, it is obviously something to be reckoned with, and the more they do it, and I'm sure you've seen dogs that have scabs along their back and the fleas, and there are many allergens that are affecting them, not only the pollens that affect us, but it's also things around the house. It could be, obviously, their food. It could be house dust. It could be house dust mites. It could be tobacco smoke, wool and cotton and certain flowers in the house. There are so many possible allergens in a dog's environment. So it's really important to understand when your dog's itching is too much itching. And we talk about, I have a great website that I direct pet owners to, and it's called youranimalinstinct.com, all one word, Your Animal Instinct, sponsored by Zoetis. And basically, within the site, you can learn more about canine allergy, and you can take a quiz. It's called the Itch Instinct Quiz. And what this quiz does, it really will help clarify whether or not your dog's itching is a little too much. And if so, it will direct you, of course, to see your veterinarian.
Great.
And another program that Zoetis has been sponsoring and is tied in, as you mentioned, to the canine itch.
Yeah.
It's called the Canine Courage Program.
What is that?
And it's a wonderful program that is providing healthcare assistance to retired military and police dogs, as well as to active service dogs assisting veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Wow.
So when that quiz is taken, that triggers a donation by Zoetis to this Canine Courage Program.
Very
so
cool.
It's really a win-win-win.
Okay.
We're going to be helping our pets. You're going to learn more about your dog's itch, helping these service dogs and helping the veterans whom these service dogs are helping. So, you know, as I said, it's a wonderful program.
So there is a connection between veterinarians and vets.
Absolutely. How do you like that?
Oh,
so the veterinarians helping the vets. And also, more importantly, with the completion of the quiz and learning more, you will learn more about some medications, new medications especially.
Yes.
Because typically in the past, and I, as long as well as other veterinarians, have been resorting to, of course, the antibiotics, as you mentioned, to treat the secondary infections associated with this, but also things like corticosteroids, and immunosuppressive agents, and they are effective, but they also have side effects, whether it's excessive drinking and excessive urination, liver problems, increased appetite. Obviously, it's a problem, but yet it's been worth it because we were helping our dogs. Well, now there's a new medication by Zoetis called Apoquil, and it is the best. I mean, I hate to talk about a dog allergy, but it's a cat's meow. I mean, it is not to be used on cats, but it's for dogs. And it is the first medication of its kind that actually attacks the canine itch at its core without the side effects. And honestly, I've had clients call me and have seen results within 2 hours.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Okay. It's great.
I wish I could take this stuff because I have allergies.
I know people have asked me, can I take it? No, it's just for dogs, but it is really effective and safe and without the side effects.
Yeah.
So, you know, my the way I look at the program is between the medication, the Apoquil, between the canine, you know, learning more about the canine itch, the Itch Instinct Quiz, youranimalinstinct.com, we are doing so much for our dogs. And for the very special dogs that are helping our veterans.
Great. Is licking also an allergic kind of reaction like scratching? Because my dog always licks a lot themselves as well.
Absolutely, especially when they're kind of rolled over and they're licking either their feet.
Yeah.
If they're licking their feet a lot, we often think of food allergy or pollen allergy.
Wow.
Or they're licking their groin area. And again, that also is going to be pollen allergies.
I thought that was for pleasure.
Oh yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that might be too. But but I would worry about that. And then, of course, the chewing. You know, like
it.
A dog whips around and starts nibbling at
the
skin.
Yes.
That I would look for fleas. I would look for fleas in that one.
Oh, all right.
And I mean, literally, they can be sitting and relaxing. All of a sudden, they turn around like a mile a minute, and they're just going nuts.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Those are the symptoms.
I wish you were my veterinarian, but I don't. You're probably not nearby. You're probably filled up. But anyway,
you can come out to California. We'd love to see you.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit of a trip to have my dog checked out. Anyway. Okay, give me some websites where I can get more information when you're not around.
Okay, the website is youranimalinstinct.com, and that is the best.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, thank you to my guest, and thank you to you. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program, because I only do weekdays, and I don't do Windows. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.